Let's resume today with the letters of the Aleph Beis. We're up to the letter. Anyone remember what letter we're up to? Wow, very good. Okay. You know your Aleph Beis. Rabbi Akiva, when he was first learned the Aleph Beis when he was 40 years old. Okay, let's begin with the letter Zion. Okay, a few interesting things about the letter Zion. Zion, the Gemara, the word Zion, when you have a... When we emphasize the word Zion, the best way you can possibly emphasize the letter Zion is a double Zion. Zoz. Zoz. What does Zoz mean? Zoz means to move. And in fact, the Gemara says money is called Zuzim.
Zuzim.
Zuzim. Why is money called Zuzim? Because money moves from place to place.
right out of your pocket.
Rich today, poor tomorrow.
It makes the economy move.
It's very good. It makes the economy move. It's healthy for the economy when there's a lot of commerce.
Flow of funds.
So money really, it's a very interesting concept. The letter Zion, the Gemara says, this captures the concept of money. Because the letter Zion, in its fullest and most intense form, represents the concept of movement. And movement, where in this world is there movement? Money. Money is always in a constant state of flux, of flow, back and forth. There's really a positive. There's another concept which is captured in the letter Zion, birds. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Kol oif harim, all of the birds of the mountains, viziz sodai imadi, and the ziz of the fields are with me." Hashem says, "The ziz of the fields are with me." And Chazal explained, "What does this word ziz?" From the context of the pasuk, it means the birds. The birds are called the ziz of the fields. Why are birds called ziz? What do birds do? Always in a state of movement. They're always flying, mobility, movement from place to place. Anything that is in a constant state of movement is the idea of Zion. Which is a very interesting concept because Teva, what is nature? Nature is seven. Seven captures nature. There are 7 days of the week. The world was created with cycles of seven, of the number seven. Seven represents the perfection of nature, and everything in nature is in a state of movement. Nothing stagnates. The earth is always spinning. The moon is moving around. It's moving around the earth. The seasons are always in movement. The world is always, nature is always in a state of movement. Once something stops, it's dead. That's not called Teva. Teva is alive. Life is in movement. Zion captures the concept of life. Because life has to be ziz, zaz. The emphasis of a double Zion is movement. Okay, let's go to another idea. The letter Zion also represents the concept of what is a Zion?
War.
A weapon.
Yeah,
our arms, a weapon. A Zion is a weapon.
Yeah.
So we have this idea that the letter Zion represents a weapon. And it's for that reason the letter Zion is absent in many, many areas of our liturgy. For example, well, let's look at the Torah. The Pasuk Nasna. I didn't have a chance to go through all these Pasukim to understand the significance. Because when you analyze a section of Chumash, and it tells you in a Chazal that the letter Zion is absent, there are two different levels of understanding what that means. Either means this letter is absent, plus another five letters. So when this letter is absent, plus another five letters,
nothing.
Big deal.
Nothing.
Okay, so it's absent. I can't say it means nothing. There's something to it, but it's not such a big deal because it's not alone. It has company. But when there is still some significance. The more the fewer letters that are missing, the more significance it has that it is absent. And of course, it goes without saying, when it is the only letter that is absent, obviously that has very great significance. Now, where do we have an example where it's the only letter that's missing? In the brach of Al Hatzair, well, let's go to the original source. I think it's, I think it's the only letter that's missing in the brach of to Yehuda. Yehuda, ata yoducha, achecha, yodcha, ba'orif, yodecha. You go through the brach of Yehuda, last week's parasha, Parashas Yechi. The Birchas Yehuda, the letter Zayin is missing. And this is a Chazal. Now, I'm not sure if it's the only letter that's missing, or there are other letters that are missing, but Chazal do emphasize, it's not like a Chassid Shavart. This is could be the Medrash, that the letter Zayin is missing in the Bracha of Yehuda, because Yehuda was the leader, and you would expect the leadership of Klal Yisrael and all nations, their military is what really, their military is what establishes them as a nation, their power. The United States of America prides itself on being the most powerful army in the world. And that's why, that's one of the principles of the Republican Party. You have to have a strong military. Democrats believe you don't need to have a strong military. And this is a very interesting principle in world history. A nation is defined by its power. Yehuda is Malchus. It's Malchus. And Chazal emphasized in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yehuda, to the Shiftei Kah, there's no Zion. Yeah?
But not so in Birchas Moshe.
In Birchas Moshe, Gur.
It's Yehuda.
That's the Zos. That's not the actual bracha. The Zos Li Yehuda, what does it say?
The
Zos Li Yehuda. That's Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda V'Yalamot Tiviru Yadav Yadav Rav Lo V'Ezer Mitzarav. Okay, so there's a Zayin. Excellent. I don't know the answer to that question, but it is a Chazal or a Medrash. I don't have the exact source in front of me that do emphasize the Birchas Yehuda Yaakov Avinu gave to Yehuda is missing a Zayin. It could be that it's the only letter that's missing. I don't know for sure. I didn't have a chance to go look. I have a whole bunch of things here, but it could be it's the only letter that's missing. And the significance is that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael is different than the Malchus of the Umos Olam. The Umos Olam fight with weapons. At Klal Yisrael, the weapon is Torah and Tefillah. We have that in last week's parasha. When Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha, I'm giving you a Shechem Achad Alechecha. Shalakachtim Yad Ho'emari B'charbi U'v'kashti. Rashi says Charbi refers to Torah and Kashti refers to Tefillah. The Targum Yonatan of Uzil says that they both refer to Tefillah. Two different types of Tefillah. There's a Tefillah that's like a Cheref, which refers to Tefillah B'tzibur, and there's a Tefillah that's like a bow and arrow, which refers to Yishmael, which refers to Kavana. When a person davens b'yichidus, so then he needs to have a lot of Kavana. It all depends on his Kavana. When he davens b'tzibur, then just the fact that he's davening with a tzibur, that itself is sharp like a sword. And Chazal go further and explain the reason why Yaakov Avinu gave two brachas of Chari v'kashti corresponds to the koichos of Esav and Yishmol. Esav is a man of the sword. Al char v'cha tichye. Yishmol v'hu yihye roive kashos. You will be a person who shoots arrows. So the essence of Esav is al char v'cha tichye. The essence of Yishmol is roive kashos. Yaakov Avinu said to his children, to Yosef, I'm giving you Shechem achad alachecha, asher lekachti miyad ho'emari b'charbi uv'kashti. The koyach of tefillah. And Fechazal tells, when did he take it from the Emori? When Shechem, it's an interesting story, what happened? Shechem took Dina. And what did the Shimon and Levi do? They wiped out a whole city. They destroyed the whole city. And what happened after that? The aftermath? The Torah doesn't tell us what happened. But the Medrash fills in the gaps. After Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole city, the nation of Amori said, we can't allow this. What kind of thing is going on over here? A whole city is wiped out by two brothers. So they took up arms. And they came to destroy, to wipe out the family of Yaakov. The nation of Amori, they were afraid of these extremists, these two brothers, and they made a war. They went into war with Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu prevailed upon them, how? The Charbi Uvikashti, and he acquired the nation, this additional section of land in this war, and the war was not fought with weapons. It was fought with prayer and with different forms of prayer. The Charbi Uvikashti. So here we have exactly this concept in this pasuk. A Zayin represents the concept of a weapon. The weapon of Yaakov Avinu, the Goyim have weapons. In modern times, there are two nations. There's the nation of Esav and the nation of Yishmael. Esav is has the weapon of Cheref. Yishmael has the weapon of Roiveh Kashos, the bow and arrow, to counteract their weapons. Hashem gave us a weapon, and the weapon is koyach of tefillah, Torah u'tefillah. Of course, you have to be rishtalos, so it goes without saying, but there's a koyach of tefillah, and that is why the Zion is missing in the bracha of Yehuda. Jewish leadership should focus on the koyach of Torah u'tefillah. In addition, of course, besides the rishtalos of having the best military in the world, and the most advanced tanks, and laser guided missiles, and the iron shield, the iron dome, and satellites and drones, and you name it, and we supply the technology to the entire world. But putting that all aside, we have to also remember B'charbi V'kashti, that a person has to come onto the Koyach of Torah and Tefillah and different types of Tefillah, and therefore the Zion is noticeably absent in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yehuda. Also, now this is good, this is solid, in the bracha of Al HaTzadikim in the Shemona Esrei. Al HaTzadikim, Al HaChassid, Al Zikdi Amucha Beis Yisrael, there is no letter Zion. The letter Zion is completely absent, and all of the other letters do appear. It is the only letter that is completely absent in the bracha of Al HaTzadikim. Check it out. That letter is the only one that a tzaddik does not need weapons. A real tzaddik. And you have to find real tzaddikim today to be worthy of such a bracha, not needing to come onto a shtadlus. Today in our generation is unheard of. But Al HaTzadikim V'Al HaChassidim, a real tzaddik can be Samech, V'Al Zik Ni'amcha Beis Yisrael, they're not ones to take up arms, but they are Zoyer. Wait. The Al HaTzadikim V'Al HaChassidim. How could this be then? Something doesn't make sense. Al HaTzadikim V'Al HaChassidim V'Al Zikni Amcha Beis V'Al Pleidus. I don't know, you're right. I don't know. I have to go back to my sources.
That isn't the only one.
Okay, I have to go back to my sources. Okay, Yoshe V'Seis Elyon, which is the Shir Shel Pegoim. Okay, you have to check if it's really true. If that's the Shir, that is the Mizmah that we say to protect ourselves from the evil forces. It's said by a Levaya, we said in Hanukkah, all these different things. There's no Zion. It's also significant that by Klal Yisrael, the ultimate protection comes from Tzfilah and Emun in Hashem, not from the Hishtadlus of the weapons. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now I have a good idea of this you're gonna like. This is solid as it gets. I really like this idea, and Rebbechol, you better like this. Okay. Yesterday we discussed really by Shevavim v'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? That in the days of Choshech, one of the ten makos was the mak of Choshech. Everyone knows this. Four-fifths, what a tragedy. Four-fifths Jewish people died. Half leva fella. So many people died during that time because they did not merit to leave Mitzrayim. Okay, that is the simple interpretation. Only Vachamushim, one-fifth of the Jewish population left Mitzrayim. Four-fifths died at this time period. Okay. But there's another interpretation. I think Rashi says it. What does it mean, Vachamushim? It means Mizuyonim, armed. They took up weapons. When they left Egypt, everyone took up a gun, a bow, an arrow, a sword. Everyone had a weapon to prepare themselves for the difficulties that lay ahead. They were afraid. They were demoralized. They were terrorized. They were overpowered by the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim. Okay, that's an age old question. Why didn't they? Why wasn't there more Jewish resistance? Okay, they asked about the Holocaust, so on and so forth. But one of the questions is why. Whatever the question is, whatever it is, okay, the Warsaw Uprising, but when they left Egypt, they went out with weapons. Why do they need weapons? Well, they're going into the desert. Who knows what they'll find there? They'll find there some tribes, some nomads, and Sakana, and they're coming into Canaan. They were planning on going into Eretz Yisrael very shortly. They were not planning on staying there for 40 years. They'll be in Eretz Yisrael within a couple of weeks, and who are they going to meet there? The Canaanim. The Canaanim are not going nowhere. They're going to fight. There's going to be a war. Therefore, they have to prepare. So they cleaned out the arsenal. Can you imagine? Klal Yisrael is leaving, so they go. Oh, while you're leaving, come to West Point, wherever one of the bases, and we'll give you all our jeeps, our machine guns, and our weapons, and we'll give you some nuclear suitcases also. We'll give you whatever you need. will be provided for when you leave Egypt. That's exactly what it says in the pasuk. V'chamushim mizuyonim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. That's also poshup shat. Okay, we're not going off the deep end of a Kabbalah mystical one-fifth, two perushim, one-fifth, or they went out with weapons. You need weapons to fight, Canaan. Okay, but what does it mean, mizuyonim, v'chamushim, mizuyonim? What is a zayin? We're talking about the letter zayin. V'chamushim can also be read v'chamishim, 50. When Moshe Rabbeinu was recruited by Hashem at the burning bush, what did Moshe ask Hashem? But for what purpose? Why? Oh, I've got the exact words of the pasuk. And what suchus does Klal Yisrael have that they will merit to leave Mitzrayim? What's going to happen? Why are you taking them out of Mitzrayim? So Hashem said, "Ba'avur tavdun osi alahor hazeh," something along those words, that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to come to Har Sinai and to be mekabel the Torah. Great, the pasuk in the Torah, I'm taking it to Mitzrayim, and they're going to take him to Har Sinai, they're going to receive the Torah. How long did it take to go from Har Sinai, from Mitzrayim, until they reached Har Sinai, to be mekabel Torah, to achieve the purpose, the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Exactly 50 days. And that's why we reenact this every single year with Svira. We leave Mitzrayim, and the second day of Pesach, we begin counting the Omer, 50 days, and 50 days from the bringing of the Omer, the first day of Pesach, second day of Pesach, comes Shavuos, and Shavuos is Zman Matan. Hazeh, 50 days. So don't read it v'chamushim, read chamishim. And what does chamishim mean? What does it mean v'chamushim? Chamushim is a word which relates to the word zayin. But not just the word zayin, mizuyonin, the intensity of the word, of the letter zayin. What is the most intense form of a zayin? I told you in example when we started, when you take a word and you want to intensify, you multiply it. So you have two zayins, zaz, zayin, two zayins, zaz means to intensify. We intensify the koyach of a zayin, and what does zaz mean? It means to move. So in one respect, the letter zayin represents the concept of movement, constant movement. Teva is always in the state of movement, money, birds, movement. But also, when you intensify it in its numerical form, what are you doing? You're taking seven, and you're multiplying it by seven. Seven times seven is 49. So therefore, when it says here that when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they went out mizuyonim. They were fully charged to go to reach their destination of reaching Har Sinai to the state of chamishim. Because nowhere in the Torah does it say 50. The Torah says you'll count 7 times 7. You'll count for yourself 7 weeks. You'll count for yourself 7 weeks, you'll reach number 49, and then there'll be Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu, look at how this thing echoes from individual to the Klal. Hashem comes to Moshe. Moshe, I want to take out Klal Yisrael. I want you to be the leader. I want to recruit you to serve as their leader. Moshe says, what's the purpose of all this? The purpose for this is they should come to Har Sinai and mekabel the Torah on day 50. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he preps the Jewish people. We're leaving. Get ready. Borrow clothing. Get weapons. Prepare yourself. We're going to leave. And now they're leaving. The question is, Moshe is ready. Hashem is ready. Are the Jewish people, are they ready? Are they ready to go? Are they ready for their mission? Are they ready? The pasuk says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. They were ready to go. They were all charged up. They were mizuyonim. What does it mean? Armed. What does mizuyonim mean? It comes to the lashon of zayin. Zayin in its intensified form is 7 times 7 is 49. After 49 comes 50. What is v'chamushim also? Also v'chamushim has the shorish chamishim. They were ready. They were fully charged and prepped to achieve their role of coming to Har Sinai, which is the tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Har Sinai of chamishim, Yom Chamishim. Yeah.
They were ready to leave, yes, but were they ready for Har Sinai?
They didn't know what was coming.
You needed all of those.
Okay, those steps, exactly. But they had the goal in mind. They were looking forward to growing. You don't have to be fully ready. It's a process of getting ready. But they knew their tafkid.
Okay.
They were mizuyonim. Okay. Mizuyonim. Zion time, Zion 50, chamishim. Okay. Okay. Okay, but I mean is that they knew what to expect. I mean, not to, they were looking forward to the process of coming to their goal, to reaching their goal of a chamishim. So it's a very, I think it's a very powerful word, because Zion means a weapon. And Zion in its intensified form means Zion times Zion is 50. And in the same word the Torah has, says Vachamushim, Chazal, on a very simple level translated mean, it means armed. Armed means Zion, Zmizuyonim. Armed in its fullest form is 7 times 7, 49. And that same exact word means Chamishim, which captures the entire essence and goal and mission of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Tavdunis Elokim Ba'al HaHorazev Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, the Birchas HaMazon. Now the word Zion, now you can't ignore a Gemara. The Gemara Darish is those of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Zaloif, Bina. Gimel Dalim means Gimel Dalim. Hevav, Zosh Mosh Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? This is the Gemara. This is like the Aleph Beis of the Aleph Beis. The Gemara tells us the essence of the letters of the Aleph Beis. So Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalim, Gimel, be gracious to the poor. Hashem, Hevav is Hashem's name. Ani Vaho Hoshiyana. Then it says in the Gemara, Zayin Chestes, Im Ato Oisekein, if you are gracious to the poor. It's a continuation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zon Oischa V'chon Oischa U'meitiv L'cha. Hashem will do for you three things. He will Zon, He will provide you with sustenance. If you are kind to others, Hashem will provide you with sustenance. He will be gracious to you. Chon, Ches, is Chain. And Tes, He will be Meitiv, Tov, He will do for you good. But what do we extract from this Gemara, which is developed at great length by many commentators, that the letter Zayin represents the concept of Zon. Zon. Hashem will provide for you sustenance. Zon, sustenance. This is a Gemara. The letter Zayin is the concept Zon Oischa. Now, in Birchus, now that means the number 7 is very much associated with the concept that Hashem provides Parnassah. And indeed, what is the most famous pasuk that refers to Parnassah? Poseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzon. How many words are there in this pasuk? Poseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzon. Hashem opens up his hand and provides man with sustenance. What is the middle word of this pasuk? If there are 7, so the middle is 4. Poseach es yodecha umaspia. What is the shoresh of the word umaspia? Sheva. So you see that the letter Zayin, how it represents Zon, and you see that the pasuk of Zon is 7, and in the shoresh, in the pnimis, in the center of the 7 is Nochamol, is another 7 is umaspia sodea sheva. Very beautiful idea. Birchas HaMazon. What is the Iker Birchas HaMazon? The first bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu was Misaki in the first bracha. How many words are there in the first bracha? 57 words. 57 words. The same gematria of Zon. Zayin Nun is 57. Count the first bracha, not Nusach Sfar, where it adds in Pasecha Sidecha Maspilachol Chayretzon. Take that out. Yeah, the Iker. The Iker bracha is, that came later. The Iker bracha is without the Pasek, Kakosuf, Pasek HaSidecha Maspilachol Chayretzon. That's a Sfarish and Nusach, Sfar as well. But a regular Nusach does not have that Pasek. There are exactly 57 words to tell us, to remind us of the concept of Zon. What is the 7th word of Birchas HaMazon? Zon. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ho'olam, Hazon Esa Olam. So another 7, you see over here the word Zon, how it's so much associated with the concept of Parnasa. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea. The word Zon also, I never heard this before, this is new to me, it represents a min, it represents a species. How do you say species or species? Some say both ways. I've heard it both ways. Species, species. I always was taught species. She's. Some say species. But Zon, the letter Zayin Nun appears to be the etymology of the word Zon is species. Ever heard this before? You heard this before? You look in a dictionary, Zayin Nun is species? You look it up? I don't know. That's what it says. That's one of the translations of the word Zayin Nun. Where does it come from that Zayin Nun should relate to the concept of a min, a type? a species, because every species includes two parts. You need to be able to reproduce. A zohar and a nekeva. So a zayin is the zohar and the nun is the nekeva. So menela, since you need a zohar and a nekeva in order to have the ability to reproduce, the two letters together, zayin nun, make up the concept of a species, zon. And now we can understand why we have a word called mizaneh. A mizaneh is a term which means a woman or a man is not faithful to their spouse. Infidelity. Why is mizaneh, the Hebrew word for infidelity, mizaneh? Because since zayin nun represents zohar and nekeva, it represents a bond, it represents an attachment, a loyalty between the zohar and the nekeva. And when you break that loyalty, it's called mizaneh. You take those same letters and you are breaking away from the min. There is a problem. Okay, now I don't have to go over you all the million Zions. The letter Zion represents, there are seven heavens, and there are seven Maduros in Gan Eden, and there are seven seas, and there are seven branches of the menorah, and there are seven nations of Canaan, and there are seven Ushpizin, and there are seven different items on the Dalal days of the week, and there are 7 days of Shiva Shimei HaMishta, and the Kala goes around the Chosin seven times, and there are seven Peros of the Zayin Minim Neshtabach Bochem Eretz Yisrael, and okay, and there are seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Now, this is something a little interesting, is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. That is also, that's very controversial. How do you get a number 613? It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara, it's a Medrash, but it appears that there are other Midrashim which disagree. This number 613 is a number that was invented by, was calculated by a Medrash. A Medrash, it's a Gemara, I think it's a Gemara also, in the Talmud of the Midrashim. But there are other Midrashim that say there's no such thing as 613. There are more than 613. That's all relative to how you want to count. You can count the mitzvahs in many different ways. Okay, but we have a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs, and then along comes the Rambam, and everyone, all of the codifiers, make very desperate attempts to figure out, go backwards, if it's true that there is a tradition that there are 613. Let's work backwards and figure out what are the 613, and the Rambam counts some and omits others, and the Chinuch counts others, and you have all the various Rishonim have come around, because they're all working with the premise that there are exactly 613 mitzvahs, and it says the number 611 plus 2, but because it says it in the Gemara, it's a Gemara and it's a Medrash that Hashem gave us 613, and now we have to work backwards, figure out what are the 613. But we should be aware that not everyone holds. I remember Rabbi Feivel Ries, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, he once gave a shiur on this in my father's shul on one of the Yom Tovim, and he quoted other sources, other Midrashim that don't have this number 613. This is a selective opinion that quoted by the Gemara.
Maybe it starts from Rashi.
No, Rashi's a Rishon. Rashi takes from a Gemara.
He would not at all.
Rashi, it's much earlier than Rashi. It's a Gemara. It's in the Talmud. It's in the Talmud. I didn't know Rashi was going to talk about it. It's later than Rashi. It's in the Talmud. It's in the Talmud. And it's in the Talmud.
365 plus 248.
It's in the Talmud, but that's a Gemara. It's not a Mishnah. It's not the Mishnah. It doesn't go back to the time of the Mishnayis. It was invented at a certain point in time after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And there are this whole approach, this whole thesis in his drasha is that you should be aware that there are other sources. He showed other midrashim which don't agree with this Gemara, which is not uncommon, and don't agree with the popular midrashim, and hold there's not necessarily this number 613. Okay, but we accept it as a given. There are 613, along comes the Rambam, the Chinuch, and a whole other list of Rishonim, the Smag, Sefer Mitzvah Gedolos, and the Ketanos, and they go and they figure out what are the numbers. Alright, let's work with that principle. Going off track. Along come Chazal, and they gave us an additional seven mitzvahs. Seven more mitzvahs. And what are the seven mitzvahs? The Zayin mitzvahs of Rabbanan, Rabbinic mitzvahs, and that's a grand total of 620 mitzvahs. And 620 is Bigamatria Keser. 600. Keser yid milucha hamani mala. Keser. Keser is the gematria of 620. A zayin is very much associated with the concept of a keser, of a crown. And the biggest proof is on the Ashanis gates, you have three tagim, and the tsura, the form of a tag of a crown, is a little zayin. A little zayin represents a crown. And it's just interesting to take this into note, is that the seven additional mitzvos that Chazal have added to the Torah to enhance the Torah, bring the Torah to the level of what the Torah really is. The Torah is a keser, because now it's a granter of 620, and 620 is keser, and that in essence is what the Zion is all about. It's a keser for the osios of the Torah. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This is an interesting idea. From all the letters of the Aleph Beis, there's only one letter that looks equally both ways. The Aleph. The Aleph, when you look at the Aleph from behind, you can look at every letter. And when you look at every letter, it looks different when you look at it from one side. And when you look at it from the other side, the base. When you look at it from one side, so you see the opening. Look at the back side, you see just the back. Even the letter Aleph. There is a Yud on the right side of the Aleph, and there's a leg on the left side of the Aleph. Every single letter is unique in shape, and it has a different tzura when you focus on it from a different perspective. The only letter that is identical on both sides of the letter is the letter Zayin. It's a fascinating idea. It's a fascinating idea. It's the only letter. It's exactly the same. When you look on one side, it's a mirror image of what it looks like on the other side. Symmetrical. It's the only letter. Why? Because it has Shefa influence on both sides equally. And in other words, it refers to the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos ends on Tuesday and begins on Wednesday. Shabbos has influence. Shabbos casts its influence forward 3 days. You still feel the influence of Shabbos for 3 days. You can make Havdalah until Tuesday. And already the Hachan Shabbos already begins 3 days in advance. That's why the Zayin, that's why the Zayin has the Shefa both ways. Okay, now let's just go to the unusual Zions. Very clearly, I'm talking the unusual Zions. There are three unusual Zions in the Torah. Yes. Does anyone know what they are?
Vaizasa.
Vaizasa in the Megillah is a small Zion. It's a very big mystery. Why is the small Zion in Vaizasa small? It's a big mystery. Okay, there's a Tavshin Zion was the year when the 10 Nazis were killed. Well, maybe we'll talk about that another time. We're short now on time, so we'll talk about another time. We'll save it for the Tav or the Shin. But the Zion is small. So one of the reasons given is because Haman, he slandered the Jewish people with seven different expressions. Yeshnoi am echad, mefuzar umefurad, bein ha'amim, v'dasehem shonos mikolam, v'yestosei ha'melech you have to count it exactly. You'll find in that pasuk exactly seven expressions. So I think it's a Medrash Rabbi Akiva, one of the popular Midrashim that discusses the significance of the letters of the Aleph Beis, and there he says the reason why the Zayin of Vaizos is small is because Haman slandered the Jewish people with seven expressions, and to allude to the seven expressions of Haman, that's why the Zayin is small, because the slander was false. These words that he said about Klal Yisrael were false, and therefore his children were punished. That's one answer.
In Yiddish is saying as awkward as Vaizasa, because the big Vav
and the small Zion. It's a very funny word. In the same letter you have a small and a big. Another reason given is Vaizasa is he was his youngest son. Okay, yes, Vaizasa. It was Muhammad's youngest son, so the Zion is small. I don't really understand this. Well, the significance, just telling you what I saw. Another answer, I don't know what this means, you have to interpret this, whatever, take what it means, is Vaizasa. The pasuk is telling us, break it into two parts. Vai Zayas. Woe to the Zayas. Vai means woe. Like, oi. and zay. So when you have a big letter in the middle of a word, the general approach is it means it's two different words. So what's the significance of vay zay? I saw some interpretation which I don't understand, the Kabbalistic interpretation. So I'm not going to even bother telling you what.
Vay
zay, but it's two words because of the big zay. I don't know the significance. That's one small zay. Now there are two large zayins. What are the zichru taras Moshe? Famous pasuk had this in Daf Yomi not long ago that Moshe Rabbeinu was married and it was called his Torah. It's Moshe's Torah because Moshe's humility, and we're instructed Zichru Toras Moshe. It's a pasuk in Malachi, and the Zion is very large. And the Medrash explains the reason why it's very large is because you need an enormous amount of Siyata Deshmaya effort and Yigia to remember the Torah. Torah is something that is very hard to remember. You have to constantly review, and therefore there's a very large Zion, Zichru Toras Moshe. It's not like coming to memorize the phone book. It's easy to memorize the phone book relative to memorizing and retaining your Torah knowledge. Torah knowledge is very sensitive to Kedusha. The person for a moment blinks and he slips in Kedusha, the Torah knowledge will depart. So you have to always be on guard, like with a weapon, a Zion, always be on guard not to forget the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where else is there a large Zion? And this is discussed at great length, and we don't have it in our tradition. It's not in our tradition, but it's brought down in all of the Midrashim. In 2 weeks ago, in Parsha Avdina, when Yaakov Avinu complained to his children, what in the world were you thinking? What in the world were you thinking? Shechem, he took Dina, his diplomacy. You know, we'll make a prisoner exchange. We'll give away 1,000 Palestinians to get back Dina. What in the world were you thinking over here to go take arms, to bear arms, and wipe out a whole city, and now there's a world war? So what did they respond? Is our sister a Zoyna? So that Zion is a large Zion. It's a large Zion. Now in our Sifrei Torah, we don't have a large Zion, but this is the tradition that's brought down. Now, what's the significance? So there are a lot of Kabbalistic interpretations. Let me just say something which I found to be very interesting. I've always heard this idea, and you'll tell me if you ever heard this. People always say that the Parnasa comes in the Zuchus of the wife. Did you hear that before?
Yes.
You heard that. Parnasa comes in the zuchus of a wife. If you're a bachar, you're not,
behind every
man is always a surprise mother-in-law. So what this means is this is a fascinating interpretation that it really comes from this big Zion. Why? What came out of the union of Shechem and Dina? Osnas. Osnas, who did Yosef marry?
Osnas.
When did Yosef become the mashpir l'chol Mitzrayim? After he married Osnas. Yosef was the mashpir. He was the provider for the whole world. He had such good parnasa. His parnasa was so matzliach in his parnasa. He was the mefarnes to the entire world. And when did this all begin? When he got out of jail. And when did he get out of jail? When he entered the Paro's dream. And what happened after he got out of jail? Paro said that you need a wife. I can't let a bachar be a ruler of my country. You need a wife. Who am I going to give you as a wife? Well, there's this nice little Jewish girl we have here. She came down. She was sent here by Yaakov. Her name is Osnas Bas Potifera. Okay, we all know the whole story, the whole lot of Midrashim. Osnas. And she will be your wife. And he took her to the lot of Midrashim. Osnas. Yosef married Osnas. And from there came Parnasa. There he became the mashpir of the whole entire world. So behind every man is a wife. And whose chus min has Parnasa. So, hakezoyne yasa. What is the Zion? We spent so much time discussing the Zion is Zon. What came out of this Maisa's Nus? What came out of Osnas? And what came up from Osnas? Zon for the entire world. For the entire world, because she married Yosef and she was the force. Talking about women, Michal, talking about women, we're putting a woman before over here. She became the Zechus for Parnasa for the entire world. Now, is that a good var or what? Okay. Now I pretty much did. We got everything. I just wanted to make sure I got everything. Didn't forget anything. Give me 1 second. Okay. Also, this is a short var that Zion, the first one to create weapons, was Lemech. Weapons. Zion was first created in the seventh generation of this world by Lemech. and it was used to kill Tuvul Kayin. Okay, so Zayin weapons came in the seventh generation. They say the Sharvit HaZohav, a Sharvit, is a Zayin. There's a Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mate, his Mate that he used, all the Makos looked like a Zayin. Had the appearance of a Zayin. Okay, I'm just about finished. Let me just make sure I got every last thing on this piece of paper. I think, no, there's something that I'm missing. There's some good vart that I'm missing. A short good vart. Oh, this is very good. I like this. This is very geschmack. A Zayin represents a scale. What is a Zayin? A Zayin.
Oh.
What is the syllable that is pronounced the most in a scale? Moznayim. The Zayin is very pronounced. What is a scale? It's a stick and a bar on top. And it's perfectly balanced. What does it mean when a person is zona? He's mizane. Tilts.
Throwing things out of balance.
Exactly. Because a scale is because a Zayin is a scale. It's perfectly balanced. When there's znus, when there's zona, there's tilting, that represents the concept that something is out of balance. Now, one last thing, which is truly fascinating, is that the letter Zayin sometimes in Tanakh is interchanged with a Dalet. Because not because they sound alike, they don't sound anything alike, but they look alike to a certain degree. Because they both have, only the Dalet goes further.
Now, Rabbi, as we said, it's true in Aramaic.
It goes a little bit further on one side. Zion on two sides, the Dalet goes further. Therefore, where's the classic example? This is very interesting. Anida. Nidas divosa. Divosa. Kenidas divosa tiya. What is the word divosa? It's an extremely difficult word to translate. Anida divosa. So Rashi says it means to flow, like her blood flows. What in the world does divosa have to do with flowing? The answer is because the word di, it can be interchanged with the zayin. Zi. The Dalet and the Zayin can be interchanged because they look similar in appearance and form. And the Vav, we learned, the Vav and the Beis are phonetically the same. Veis and Beis and Vav. So therefore you take the word divosa, zivosa. Zava. Zava means to flow. So that's why Rashi says, Ramban writes, I don't know why the word divosa means to flow. Rashi says it means to flow. And the Farshim is saying because a Zayin and a Dalet can be interchanged, and the Vav and the Beis can be interchanged. So when you take the code is, Divosa is to be interpreted as Zivosa. Zava means to flow. Kinidas Divosa Tila, she shall be like a woman whose blood of impurity is flowing from her. Fascinating idea to understand, to appreciate that the Dalet and the Zayin, in for Jewish purposes, in the Perush of the Pasuk of Pshuta Shel Mikra, can be interchanged in these ways. Okay, so this concludes our letter Zayin. Gird your weapons, take up arms.